Welcome back to Vanguardia America. We had listened to the results in terms of what happened in Arizona in the election and around the country. And now we're going to have a bit of a roundtable discussion with some local folks for some insight into what it all means. Today we have Joe Garcia of CPLC Action Fund. He's also the policy director for CPLC. Elizabeth Salazar of Unidos U.S. Action Fund. And our good friend Roberto Reveles, a native of Miami, Arizona, longtime grassroots activist, and I think one of the original Mighty Vandals, although you didn't actually play basketball, right? Well, thank you guys for coming. Let's just try to assess, first of all, what the overall results mean, because what we're seeing now is we're seeing each of the state candidates, with the exception, of course, of Martin Casado, who did lose, we're seeing each of the leading state candidates start to edge away, which would be kind of astounding, because basically we would end up with four out of those five major offices filled by Democrats, for one thing. And it's interesting, and I think it's fair to say, that they will have won in good part because of Latino support, because of Latino voter support. There was a story in The Republic recently that spoke specifically to that, how heavily favored they are among Latino voters. So what do you think so far, Joe, about kind of where we are in terms of those results?
Well, you remember last week I was optimistic about the outcomes. And I think people were kind of surprised at that. It wasn't a false optimism. We had seen a large Latino turnout for the primary election. A lot of new Latino voters as well. A lot of low propensity voters who are Latinos showing up to vote who normally don't vote or who've missed one or two election cycles. We knew that was going to carry over to the general. If you vote in the primary, you're going to vote in the general. Plus, if we can get more Latinos voting in the general on top of that number, we thought we'd be very successful. And when I say we, obviously I mean for CPLC Action Fund, Latino Loud, but I also mean many other groups, many other Latino groups, many other grassroots groups. People of color. I mean, there were a lot of people that made this happen where positioned we are. You lose any of the support of this coalition, it's a loose coalition, but it is a coalition of these votes, we're not where we are today. And I think that, if we had talked about it even just a couple of weeks ago, if we would be in this position in terms of more progressive candidates instead of the MAGA far extreme right winning out in Arizona, a lot of people, I think, were a little filled with fear, and rightfully so. But I was pretty confident our numbers would show up in Latino vote, and we have. So very happy about that.
Yeah, and with the exception of Mark Kelly, who seems to be maybe 120,000 or so votes ahead of his competitor, most of the other races are pretty close, right? 15, 20, 25,000, that sort of thing. If that's the case, how many Latino voters are out there that you think may have cast a ballot?
Well,
in this election?
Yeah, our numbers, we're still looking at the numbers, but mm-hmm. We're confident that there were at least more than 50,000 additional Latino votes that on top of the last midterm.
Yeah.
And there's the ones that we know of, there's a lot of times, you go by surnames and last names and so forth.
But in terms of who voted, probably several hundred thousand, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, there's no way to say that somehow our community didn't play a distinct role in the victory for all of these candidates. Roberto, Mr. Fuentes is eked it out, has been declared the winner for Secretary of State against an avowed insurrectionist. Aside from that, he becomes the first Latino elected to that position. And in many ways, I think, is catapulted now to kind of a national platform. I mean, what do you think?
Absolutely, because if history has taught us anything in Arizona, it's that the Secretary of State has a high likelihood of assuming the office of governor. And it speaks volumes about the need for us to continue expressing confidence in our community that given an opportunity, our community steps forward and becomes really the protector of this beautiful system of governance that we have in our nation.
And we were already ground zero in terms of many of the issues with regards to election deniers. That's probably not going to change between now and 2024. And Mr. Fuentes will be in charge of counting essentially the votes.
Yes, but also what this election demonstrates, that if given the opportunity through mass media, this radio station being one of them, our community is willing to act on facts and to talk back honestly without hesitancy to talk at those who refuse to demonstrate commitment to truthfulness.
Yeah. Elizabeth, what do you think drove Latinos to the polls? What do you think brought them to the polls so that they ended up supporting at least four of the five major statewide candidates this go around?
You know, as was mentioned earlier, the really, really divisive rhetoric, xenophobic and racist rhetoric, I think is part of especially low propensity new voters and young voters who might not have felt like their voice mattered previously. That is definitely going to drive out many voters who perhaps aren't that politically involved, right? When you have direct attacks on your people and your community, that's going to bring you to the polls. I do believe that despite a lot of efforts for the, you know, the far right and MAGA folks to scare people and especially Latinos into thinking that if they don't vote for them, they're not going to be able to put food on the table, et cetera, et cetera. We're much more savvy than that. They don't give us credit for the nuance in, you know, the opinions that we have and the thoughts that we have about what's important. And honestly, the xenophobic rhetoric, the racist rhetoric, and just being totally off the rails when it comes to the Stop the Steal did not help them in any of these races.
And what do you, how do you think abortion played into it? I mean, I know that Naleo had surveys that suggested that while the top issue for Latino voters nationwide was jobs and inflation, logically, the number two issue was abortion nationally.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had our own polls at Unidos US and our sister organization, the C3, that also bore that out. I think it was in the top five of the issues. And I think people assumed that all Latinos were anti the right to choose. And that is definitely not part of it. And I think the direct attack and immediate attack on your own bodily autonomy is definitely going to drive people out to the ballot box.
And every one of these candidates, every one of these Republican candidates, basically were trying to shut down the ability for people to decide whether they wanted to have an abortion or not.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of organizations did a great job of showing how these different elected officers have control over these issues. It's not just the legislature. It's not legislature. It's not just the governor or the SOS or the AG. They all are a stop to put a check on the democratic process, right? So you need people that are that have integrity in each of those offices. So people became much more aware of how important these each and every race is.
Yeah, I think real quick,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
On the abortion issue, yeah, you know, I agree 100%. But we also need to know that it was more than abortion that was on the on the ballot. This is personal freedoms and liberties for everyone. I mean, we know that there's a laundry list of personal liberties and freedoms that were going to be under attack. Abortion was just the first one. You know, we know that same-sex marriage was going to be next on the list. And the list will continue on, taking away our liberties, our hard-fought liberties. So I think there was, certainly support for a woman's right to choose, as it should be. It should be that individual's decision, right? But it was all our individual freedoms that were at risk. And I think people understood that. So there was an extension. It wasn't just women, but it was an understanding that this is everyone's
freedom. A general tenor that basically suggested we can take rights away from you. Not just this one, but other ones. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I looked this morning at a Brookings Institute, some research that they did right after the election. And they found that 2/3 of Latino voters nationwide voted for Democrats, which is no different than it has been. And they raised that point in part because there has been this sort of ongoing discussion about whether Latinos are shifting in some substantial way to the Republican Party. This would suggest not, although we know that in some instances, such as in Florida, there was a dramatic shift. How do you think ultimately that's going to play out here as we start to look at the 24 election?
Yes, but James, keep in mind that Florida in particular, that was not the result of a reflection of the general population's views, but rather the result of a gerrymandering of those congressional districts in particular.
Mm-hmm. Although Cuban Americans who already tended to vote Republican voted more Republican even this go around. But I mean, I guess that conversation in general about the Democratic Party, whether it addresses the needs of Latinos nationally or takes them for granted, I mean, how is that going to play sort of moving forward as we start to head into the presidential cycle?
Well, you know, I think there's some inherent problems with a two-party system. You kind of either go Coke or Pepsi right? I mean, that's it. Coke or Pepsi.
And but, a third of people are independents.
You know, right. So, you know, those are Dr. Pepper. Those are, you know, call me a pepper. But, you know, I think it comes down to that there was a narrative that was going across the land that every media reporter that contacted me and talked to me, they always want to talk about the shift from Latinos to the Republican Party. They weren't interested when I was telling them about the Latino get out the vote effort, people going to vote, it's going to be different. They did not care. They wanted that narrative that, no, Latinos are shifting to the Republican Party. That was the only thing they cared about.
But this is the thing, is that if any other population group, whatever it would be, you know, gay men, people 18 to 29, whatever group you identified, if you were getting two-thirds support, you're like, that's all I need. I mean, that's fantastic. It's amazing turnout. And if things start to sort of tick down with Latino supporters and they're like 60% in some locations or something,
yeah, I think it becomes a kind of... The Democratic Party, the backbone of the Democratic Party really is the African-American voter. And if the Democratic Party was smart enough to realize that they could have even a stronger backbone to include the Latino voter, it's game over. If you got the people of color in that one party, it's game over because of the changing demographics. I think this election is going to be an eye-opener for both the Republican and the Democratic Party. I think both are going to reach out more for the Latino voter.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, you have something?
Yeah, this conversation has been fascinating to me. And you're right, 2-1, Latinos vote for Democrats over Republicans. And so this narrative that keeps coming out over and over again, this mass exodus is just not true.
It's not true.
There's this huge Atlantic article that came out that focuses on Phoenix that talks about this very thing. And it was infuriating to me because it lacks nuance, and it intimated that Latinos don't care about the environment. They don't care about social justice. And I can't quite put into words why that insults me, but it's this idea that Latinos are not savvy enough and not complicated enough to have various opinions on a different matter of subject. And I think Florida is definitely an outlier, but the Democratic Party needs to look and see why is that with Cubans? There's a lot of economical and historical reasons that lead them to leaning right. And so, you know, it's a complicated picture everywhere you go in every state. But by and large, this idea that people are just flocking over to conservative side is just not true.
Joe, can you close out for us, please? Where does the Latino voting block in Arizona go now? And how should the parties be responding to them going forward based on the results that we have?
Well, you know, I think what it's shown is that there's Latino empowerment now. There's Latino muscle. There's a narrative we can tell, we can show. And right now, the big question is always going to be, do Latinos show up at the ballot box? And traditionally, the answer has been, we've underperformed, quite frankly. I don't think they can say that now. I don't think you can win an election without the Latino vote anymore. That's the message that's being sent, and it's being resonated, I think, across the land.
Okay. Thank you, Joe Garcia of CPLC Action Fund. Elizabeth Salazar with Unidos Action Fund, and Roberto Ravelas, all around great guy and grassroots activist and involved in so many things here in the community. Thank you for being with us today. Look forward to seeing you again here on Vanguardia America. And we'll be back after this commercial message.